Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com to get started.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Relegators!
Mount up!
Welcome back to the Relegators Podcast. My name is Phil, and this is the pod where me and my best bud Carl go over promotion relegation in English top-tier soccer. Carl, how was your week, buddy?
Week's been all right. I decided that I was going to get back onto the dating apps. I haven't had much luck or success so far. Do you have any advice for me?
Be patient. That's my advice.
Be patient. Yeah, it's a numbers game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have any good opening lines for when we first communicate?
The last time I did one, I had an opening line about how many houseplants is too many. So all these women thought I had houseplants, and then I'd explain to them, no, I don't have any houseplants at all. I just wanted to know how many was too many.
Yeah, Phil's apartment looks like a Turkish prison. There's not a plant. There's not a green thing to be found in there. Not even money.
No, that's true. I do buy flowers once a week from the apartment.
That's nice. I'm surprised by that. You know what? That warms my heart.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, how's your week been?
Good, man. Good. Just hanging out, getting into trouble. You know, the normal stuff.
Yeah. Good trouble.
Always. All trouble's good trouble.
Yeah, well, I could agree with that.
Not getting arrested or anything like that. So
yeah, just short. I mean, you know, if it's a minor arrest, I'll even throw that in there. Just no felonies.
Right. Nothing major.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, we got a lot of action this week, so let's get started. We're gonna start in the championship, where Tuesday, Cardiff City Stadium. Cardiff City hosted Burnley. Burnley on 12 straight scoreless games. The action starts in the 19th minute when the Clarets are pressing the Cardiff defense. Hannibal Mejbri has the ball on the left side and crosses the ball into the box, where Josh Brownhill sticks out his boot and knocks it into the net for the 1-0 lead. Burnley add another one in the 40th minute when Jaden Anthony sends a ball into the 6-yard box, and Zian Fleming heads it back across the face of the goal, and Maxime Esteve is there to finish the job. The Bluebirds come right back with one of their own in the 42nd minute when Joel Bagan sends a beautiful cross into the 6-yard box, and Yusuf Salik leaps up and heads it home. Wouldn't be enough, though, as Burnley win it 2-1.
Yeah, well, they finally gave up a goal.
Yep, 12-plus games.
And I don't know if you saw this, but I think it was partially a result of a really bad giveaway defensively. There was a back pass by Marcus Edwards, and he just hit it too soft, and it didn't get back to his own guy, and the Millwall guy took it, and then that led to the cross, which led to the goal. So Marcus Edwards probably not feeling too great about himself.
Turnovers in your own zone always kill you.
Oh yeah, both Burnley goals were pretty nice team goals, I thought. Yeah. Good passing, good finishing. Zian Fleming once again getting involved. He didn't score, but he was involved on that second goal.
Yep.
Do you know He's on loan to Burnley from another team. Do you know which team, or do you?
Was it Chelsea or Man City?
No, get this. He's on loan from Millwall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that surprised me when I looked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet Millwall's missing him right now.
I mean, they should be able to just recall him if they need him, don't they? They obviously.
Can they? Is there? I thought I didn't know if there was like terms where it's like he's on loan for a short loan or 1 year loan. At least when I play FIFA Manager, that's how it is. But I didn't. I don't know if they have the power to just be like, you're coming back now.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but I mean, you'd think they would have done it during the transfer window. They can at least do it then, can't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Listener, would you please message us if you know the answer to this?
Right, Carl. Speaking of Millwall, let's move to the Den where Millwall hosted Bristol City. The Robins get on the board first in the 53rd minute off a Max Bird corner that swings into the box, and Robert Dickey flies in and gets his head on it. The ball goes to Cameron Pring on the left side of the net, and he rolls it across to Zach Viner, who taps in the wide open goal. In the 83rd minute, Bristol are pressing again, and Sam Bell takes a shot that's defended by keeper Lucas Jensen, but the rebound goes to Harry Kornick, who takes advantage and finishes the game off for the Robins.
Yeah, that first goal was pretty nice. Great pass for the finish. The guy who made the pass was is actually a defender named Cameron Pring,
Yep.
and I looked him up, and he kind of looks like an 80s movie villain. I could just picture him like holding a guy by the ankles off a bridge and being like, "Fall is your favorite season, isn't it?" And then dropping him to his death. But anyway. Yeah, Millwall didn't. They had maybe a couple chances, but Bristol definitely looked like the stronger team here,
Yeah,
which they
Millwall had a
are.
bunch of shots, but only one on target.
Yeah, and also I w did watch a Bristol fan video. They went to the away day, and so it's like from their perspective. But before the
Sure.
game, the before the game, they went to this pub called Wetherspoons. Have you heard of these?
No.
Wetherspoons is a chain of pubs. They're like where you can get the cheapest drinks anywhere in the UK.
Okay.
They have over 900 locations in the UK.
Wow.
Those people like to fucking drink, let me tell you. Jesus.
It's like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, you can just sit and drink at that. Wouldn't that be great? No, that'd probably be terrible. Oh. All the low lifes and homeless people just sitting there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but not much else on this one.
Nope. Let's move to Friday's game. We go to Carrow Road, where Norwich City hosted Oxford United. Norwich score first in the 5th minute when Callum Doyle sends a great ball up to Kellen Fisher, who one-touch passes to a streaking Josh Sargent, who taps the ball in for the 1-0 lead. Oxford squared up in the 18th minute when a long throw makes it into the 6-yard box and hits a body and falls right to Mark Harris's feet, and he just has to turn around and kick it past the keeper. Norwich dominate possession, but no goals in the second half, and this game ends in a 1-1 draw.
God, Norwich is so frustrating right now. It's like at home against Oxford. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
And I think they got booed after the final
They
whistle.
should have. They ended up getting a second goal that was taken off. Josh Sargent was offside.
Yeah.
But they
That
had chances. They had 72% possession or something crazy like that. Like, yeah, they should have been booed.
yeah, Sargent, the Sargent goal, that there was a great overlap run by Fisher
Yep.
that made
That was
the
a really,
pass.
really pretty pass and
It
goal.
was. And then I wa was watching when he had what we thought might be his second goal, and I saw him break just a little bit too early. And I was like, no, you should have waited. And I knew they were going to raise the flag. And oh, God, it sucks when you see them going in to score, but you just know the flag's coming.
Yep,
Like, there's
yep.
no chance. And then in the second half, Oxford started. It looked like they were playing pretty physical. They were got a couple yellows, and on the replays, like they literally were just throwing the guys to the ground. So some rough play from Oxford. At the end there, did you see Borja Sainz had a golden opportunity, but the Oxford keeper Jamie Cummings saved it with his foot, I believe. And the Borja Sainz spitting curse continues.
Yeah, he hasn't scored at all since he's been back.
I guess after the final whistle blew, Borja Sainz and Jamie Cummings had kind of a tense exchange, and Borja Sainz allegedly said, "Who the hell are you?" And the other guy just said, "I'm coming."
I did want to ask you know, we got a bunch of games this week, but we didn't put any cashola down. We only had one bet going on so far this week, and that's your $25 on Southampton to beat Liverpool straight.
I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I ended up talking to my mom and she told me to call the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
Are you interested in going heads up in any of these games?
Yes, I mean we could do Swansea Middlesbrough.
Who you want that one?
I don't know, I'll let you choose.
I'll take Swansea.
Take Swansea. All right, yeah, I'm fine taking Middlesbrough.
100 bucks.
Sure.
Nice. All right, let's move to Saturday's games. We start at Vicarage Road, where Watford hosted Millwall. Watford score first in the 30th minute on a corner from Imran Musa that goes over everybody's head, but waiting in the back was Matty Pollock, who dives down and heads it into the goal. The Bricks square it up in the 59th minute when Edomo Imaku presses the ball deep into the offensive third and makes a nice pass back to Casper Dunor, who gets a nice strike on the ball past the keeper. Millwall are on the offensive again in the 81st minute, pressing along the right side, and Race Bagura Williams passes down to Tristan Krama, who one-touch crosses into the 6-yard box, and Josh Coburn puts a great header on the ball for the 2-1 lead and the Millwall victory.
Yeah, fantastic header by Coburn to seal it up. This match seemed like a tale of two halves, really. Watford looked like the better team in the first half. They looked like they had it, and then Millwall came back, and Watford completely disappeared. And the worst part about this is I don't know if you saw the news after the match. The Watford Moose was actually hit with a Millwall brick, and it was taken to the vet to
Was he
be.
put down?
Yeah, we'll see. I think at this point the Watford Moose might ask to be put down.
It's touch and go.
It's real touch and go, but yeah, Watford another failure for them.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's move to the CBS Arena where Coventry hosts Stoke City. Coventry start with an amazing goal in the 22nd minute with a long throw from Milan van Ewijk straight into the 6-yard box where Victor Torp flies in all alone and heads the ball into the net for the 1-0 lead. Another great goal from the Sky Blues when Victor Torp in the 31st minute when they press into the offensive third and Tatsuhiro Sakamoto brings the ball into the penalty area and dishes to a wide open Torp who rolls it past the keeper to get his brace. The Potters weren't going away quietly, though. In the 65th minute, Wouter Burger gets the ball and brings it into the 18-yard box, making a defender miss and dishes to Sam Gallagher for a wide-open goal. Gallagher gets his brace in the 86th minute with a nice free kick from Milan Manouf, and Gallagher just outran the entire Coventry defense to meet the ball and in the 6-yard box and heads it in. But as most of Stoke's campaign has gone this season, The Potters just can't escape without disaster. And then in the 90-plus-7, with Coventry pressing, Matt Grimes sends the ball into the 18-yard box, and the Potters cannot clear it. The ball finds its way to the boot of Bobby Thomas, who smashes the game-winning goal in dramatic fashion for the Sky Blues.
Yep, here we go again. First off, Stoke manager Mark Robbins made his return to Coventry. I guess Robbins was the Coventry manager when they made the most expensive game a few years ago.
Okay.
So he was this close to getting Coventry to the Premier League.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have a lot of love for him. They were giving him a nice ovation.
I think they love Lampard a little more right now.
Yeah, definitely. They're loving him right now. Stoke defender Lewis Kumas just let Torp pretty much run free on his Torp's first goal. It was very poor defense. And then there was more bad D on the second Torp goal. Wouter Burger kind of did the same thing, just let him run past him, and I don't know what they were doing. But Sakamoto on that goal had a nutmeg on a defender at the
Yep.
beginning of his run. So that was pretty cool to see. Mason Clark, I don't know if you saw him, he got crushed by a goalie. There was a big goalie collision, but it was kind of reminded me of that Joao Pedro one from earlier in the season.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. I don't recall seeing that.
Yeah, and also Wouter Burger had a crazy back heel.
Yes, that's my note in the 88th minute.
Yeah, he just spiked it back heel into the ground, and it bounced up, and I think it just went over the bar.
It just went over, yeah. But I mean, if that thing goes top corner, that's like one of the goals of the year.
Yeah, very cheeky, and also I think I think Wouter Burger should go to either Dallas or Houston in the MLS, because you know what Texas's favorite fast food restaurant is?
What a burger.
Yeah, could you imagine the endorsements Wouter Burger would get? That would be insane. He would immediately have to become their pitch man.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. Another heartbreak for Stoke, who's now in a fight to stay out of relegation. If they
Yeah,
go,
coming all the way back and then giving it up like that, that's heartbreaking.
yeah, very heartbreaking. And if Stoke go down to League One, like, forget about me watching their matches. Like, I'm gonna have to make a friend that lives in Stoke and have him just text me the results.
All right, Carl, let's move to the Turf Moor, where Burnley hosted Luton Town. It was a quick game for Luton's Kai Naismith, who had himself two yellow cards inside of 20 minutes, and two yellows equal one red, and Naismith hits the showers. Burnley would take control of the match from there, and in the 30th minute, the Clarets are pressing, and Connor Roberts sends a cross into the 6-yard box, and Luton defender Mark McGuinness get a boot on it and sends it into his own goal. Burnley get on the board again in the 39th minute when the Hatters can't clear the ball, and a turnover in their own defensive third results in Jaden Anthony sending the ball into the 6-yard box, where Lyle Foster was there and waiting to tap in the second goal for Burnley. Burnley get their third in the 53rd minute when Marcus Edwards brings the ball all the way down to the end line and makes a quick pass back to Josh Brownhill in the 6-yard box, and Brownhill has an easy goal. The cherry on the sundae comes in the 90-plus-4 when Josh Laurent takes the ball down the left side and crosses to Ashley Barnes, who puts the ball topside for the 4-0 win and the Clarets' 26th clean sheet of the season.
Shocking result here, wouldn't you say?
No, not at all.
So something interesting about this. Do you know J.J. Watt is a part owner of Burnley?
I saw that he was in the stands. Yeah, I thought
Yeah.
he was a part owner of Leeds, but yeah, I'm mistaken on that.
Yeah, so I guess a few weeks ago he had made a bet with Burnley goalie James Trafford, and he said this was before the Cardiff match, and he said if this is when he still had the clean sheet streak.
Yeah.
And he said if Trafford didn't give up a goal for the rest of the season, Watt would unretire and play with the Bengals, which is Trafford's favorite NFL team. So let's just say he gives up no more goals for the rest of the season. Do you think Bengals fans would send hate mail to Marcus Edwards, the guy that had the turnover?
No, I don't think the Bengals fans can read or write that well.
Yeah, Cincinnati, not known for its academic prowess. Mark McGuinness, the guy that scored the own goal, you know, it's kind of funny is they so Luton got an early red card,
Right,
which is
and
like
they bring in McGinnis because they play five back, and so they needed another defender.
yeah, genius from the manager. But yeah, that was just what Luton needed in this match, was an early red card. Like, God, terrible for them. Yeah, so Burnley almost gave up a goal for the second match in a row. Two defenders ran into each other, and the goalie Trafford bailed him out with a nice save. So they start a new clean sheet streak. But yeah, still at 10 given up for the season. So
Yeah,
still.
like I said, with 26 on the season, clean sheets, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's really insane. But yeah, it's kind of turned me around to not hating Burnley anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. They've only lost.
I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I ended up talking to my mom and she told me to call the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. Will represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
Lost the other thing I was looking at, they've only lost two games this whole season. They just got a bunch of draws.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting if they're in the playoff. I mean, which you know, they might be. I mean, they're
Yeah,
still
we'll talk
jockeying.
about that later. It's it got close.
Yeah, it sure did.
All right, let's go to iPro Stadium where Derby County hosted Blackburn Rovers. The Rams get on the board right away in the 3rd minute with a long ball into the 18-yard box that goes off of one, two, maybe three heads, and Craig Forsyth stretches out to make a great strike on the ball past the keeper for the 1-0 lead. Derby stay hot in the 7th minute, pressing on the right side. Marcus Harness sends the ball into the penalty area where multiple players from both squads get a foot on it before it leaks out in front of a wide open goal for Ebu Adams, who just has to push it over the line to go up 2-0. Rovers have 85 plus minutes to do something in this match, but can only scratch out one goal in the 40th minute. Pressing the Derby defense, Tyrese Dolan gets the ball into the penalty area for Yaku Ohashi, who makes a great pass to Mokhtar Gehi, who takes a shot and gets a deflection from the Rams defender and past the keeper. But the two early goals were all that Derby needed for the victory.
Yeah, those first two goals, both just like works of art. Like when you watch like a Messi highlight reel or Ronaldo, yeah, they're just beautiful. No, they're just wild scrambles. And but Derby got what they needed. And another interesting thing. So yeah, so two things I want to talk about. The first is we were discussing earlier in the week about the odds. That's like it's like
How
why is
Darby were favorites.
Yeah, why is the team in dead last favorites over a promotion contender? Damn you, Vegas. Like,
I
how
don't
do
know what
you
they
do
knew, but they knew something.
this? Need something. But also, so this was the first win for Derby under coach John Eustace. He was the coach that abandoned Blackburn for Derby mid-season, so just recently. And this was at Blackburn, so it was his return to Blackburn, and the Blackburn, or no, it was re Blackburn was the away team, but the away fans for Blackburn, they're waving inflatable snakes, which is
I saw a kid with a snake like around his neck, like a toy snake around his neck. I had no idea what that was. I thought this
yeah,
kid was just wearing it for some reason. Oh, that makes a whole lot of sense now.
just some weird kid that loves snakes.
Yeah, that's what I literally thought it was. I was like, all right.
No, there was a reason. So pretty interesting that he gets the win against the team that he ditched.
Yeah, that might have been why the bookies thought that they had it. They had the inside info.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like that Buccaneers Raiders Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
John Gruden knew the playbook.
Yep.
All right, Carl, let's go to the Stadium of Light where Sunderland hosts Cardiff City. Sunderland start fast in the second minute when Cardiff turns the ball over in their own defensive third and Patrick Roberts gets the ball inside the 18-yard box to Eliezer Mayenda, makes a move on the Cardiff defender and sends one past the keeper for the early 1-0 lead. The Bluebirds square it up in the 41st minute when Callum O'Dowda crosses the ball into the 6-yard box for Yusuf Salik, but Salik collides with Sunderland keeper Anthony Patterson and the ball drops to awaiting Isaac Davies, who skips it into the net for Cardiff City. The Black Cats take the lead in the 77th minute when Trey Hume takes a free kick and passes to Wilson Isidor on the right side, and Isidor centers the ball in front of a wide open goal, and Chris Meppam is there to tap it in for the 2-1 win.
Yeah, so for Sunderland, this is the first time they've won three straight against Cardiff in 103 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that there's times when they've been in different leagues,
yeah,
so that could kind of extend streaks, but still, it's a long time for anything.
Yeah, for sure. You'd think they would have played each other in FA Cups or, you know, things like that. That,
yeah,
the better squad, Sunderland, in my mind, because I recognize Sunderland used to be in the Premier. I don't think I've ever seen Cardiff in the Premier, so I would think Sunderland would have gotten three in a row that way. But yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the 2010s, I think Cardiff was in the Premier League for like one season. They got immediately demoted, but I think that was the extent of their that I during my lifetime,
Right.
or at least that I've seen.
Right.
With that second goal, Sunderland, they pulled off that little quick free kick and he just rolled it.
Yeah, the second Sunderland goal.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember. I can't remember if it was like two World Cups ago. The Netherlands was playing Argentina and it was like the last kick of the game and Netherlands was down one and they pulled that move, but they kicked it on the ground, like through the wall. And one of their teammates got to it and scored a tying goal like at the end and they went to extra time. But so
now they have a guy lay down behind the wall.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. But yeah, Sunderland, take care of business.
Yep. Next game, we go to Ashton Gate, where Bristol City hosted Hull City. It was an exciting 14th minute for João Pedro when Abu Kamara gets the ball on the right side of the pitch and centers to Pedro, who puts a devastating spin move on the Bristol defender and slides at the ball, knocking it past the keeper for the goal. On the next Bristol possession, João Pedro decides he's going to slide with both studs up at the Robins' George Tanner for the tackle and immediately is shown a red card and dismissed from the pitch. A man up, Bristol had their chances, but can't cash in until the 53rd minute when Tigers defender Alfie Jones tackles Sinclair Armstrong inside the 6-yard box, and Bristol are awarded the penalty. Anis Mamedi scores the penalty shot low and left for the goal, and this game ends in a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, what do you think? Was the penalty a good call?
I mean, it looked like a WWF drop kick, like both his feet were like up, looked like a missile drop kick right to the ankle. He didn't really get connection on him, but I can definitely see why an official with no replay would be like, oh yeah, that was like super reckless.
Yeah, I had it as a penalty. Once again, I watched the highlights. It was the Bristol City feed. I don't
yes.
know if you remember.
I think,
yeah.
I don't remember which feed I watched, but it might have been Bristol.
Yeah, I figured out what's going on with the Bristol feed. Their camera, their one camera they have, it's actually attached to the Goodyear blimp. It just
I might have been watching another one because I got some pretty good video and replays of everything. The only note I have, I think they're talking about the. Let me see who got the shots. Oh yeah, Bristol had 25 shots, so they must have been talking about the whole. Goalkeeper, the announcer's quote was, "Those fingertips are on double time today."
Yeah, 25-5, 9-1 on target, and Bristol only get a draw.
Yeah,
oof.
That sucks.
Oof, but yeah, we've all had those matches in FIFA.
Yeah.
and then they get one shot on target and they score with it and you draw.
Yeah, and it's always in the 88th minute.
Yeah. Controller broken.
Next game, we go to Bramall Lane, where Sheffield United hosted Preston North End. A couple of chances for both squads, but not much action till the 56th minute when Harrison Burrows has the ball on the left side and sends it into the 6-yard box, where streaking Tyrese Campbell rushes in and heads it past the keeper for the greasy chip booty. Bladesmen take the game 1-0.
Yeah, not a whole hell of a lot to say about this one.
Nope.
Sheffield scored immediately, pretty much immediately after Preston hit the post.
Yeah.
So that's always a fun little reversal of fortune. Preston actually, the shots were only 11-8 for Sheffield, and on target were 5-3. So it's not like Sheffield crushed them. Yeah, not a whole hell of a lot to
No,
say
there
about
wasn't
this
much
match.
offensively for both sides. A couple of chances either way, but that was about it.
Yeah, let's move on.
Next game, we go to the Hawthorns, where West Bromwich Albion hosted the Park Rangers. Slow game at the Hawthorns until the 40th minute when the Baggies are pressing and Rangers' Jack Colback takes down Jason Malumbi inside the 18-yard box and West Brom are awarded the penalty. Rangers keeper Paul Nardi guesses correctly, but Adam Armstrong's strike is too powerful, and Albion go up 1-0 on their first penalty shot of the season. In the 40.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything, and seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
5+3, Darnell Furlong blindsides Koki Saito with a hard shoulder to the face and is shown a red card, and the Baggies would be shorthanded for the second half. Couple of chances for the Rangers, but they can't capitalize on the Furlong red, and West Brom win it 1-0.
Yep. Got to watch my beloved West Brom TV.
Yeah.
For this one. Yeah, they were a little more subdued.
I definitely think that's the one I was listening to, but they were definitely rooting. They were definitely homers rooting for.
Oh yeah,
they kept calling them Albion, so I stole that.
Yeah, and they kept saying we really need to send these guys on the attack more. We need to do this. Like, they're not trying to hide anything at all. But they seemed a little more subdued than they usually are. There wasn't much yelling, and voice cracking like there usually is. I had first penalty of the season for West Brom, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing. They haven't had a single penalty all season.
Yeah, and then Furlong's elbow to the head of Saito.
I think it was a shoulder. It was hard to tell. There wasn't really a direct shot of it. It was always on the side of the replay.
Yeah, the replays. I was waiting for a good, clear replay. But, this is the championship, so all bets are off. I'm getting good
shots.
Well,
it was away from the ball.
But,
it's not like it was even close to the ball.
That's true. Definitely deserved a red from what I could see.
Yeah, it looked like a cheap shot to me.
Yeah. Besides that, not too much. West Brom only had two shots the entire match.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, given the home fans a show,
38% possession. The announcers had mentioned that they were a counterattack team, so. They weren't surprised by it, but still, just watching the other team with the ball the whole game has got to be infuriating at some points.
Yeah, it's not exciting to watch all the time. I mean, if they execute that counterattack and do it well, that can be thrilling, but you're going to be sitting and watching with, sitting on your hands for a lot of the match. West Brom needed. They need every win they can get. They need to avoid going back to the draw zone. So,
yep.
They'll take
the draw zone. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, let's move to Swansea.com Stadium where Swansea took on Middlesbrough. Carl, we went heads up in this one. Do you remember who you picked?
Oh, yeah. I remember that I let you pick and you took Swans. So I was, stuck with your sloppy seconds, Middlesbrough, and it worked out for you.
Yep. Swans get started in the 26th minute when Harry Darling intercepts the ball and heads it straight to Eom Ji-sung, who takes a beautiful curling shot from 21 yards out that goes past the diving keeper's arm and into the top corner. Some chances for both squads, but Swansea take the game 1-0.
Great first goal. That was Yeom Ji-sung's first goal for in English football,
Yep.
and obviously with Swans. Fans seem to love him. Vipotnik for Swansea tried a bicycle kick. I believe it was a bicycle. Do we know the difference between like a bicycle kick and an overhead kick? Because I tried to look it up and it's kind of confusing.
No, I always thought like a bicycle is like the full follow through, and the overhead is kind of when you just land on your back and it's just one, you just got your boot on it and over your body. But I mean,
What do you land on with a bicycle
it's kind
kick?
of like splitting hairs.
Yeah.
No, you, I mean, yeah, but it's more laying on your back, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, he tried one. It wasn't bad. Went wide, but it wasn't bad. I found out that Middlesbrough actually sacked Gareth Southgate back in 2009. Thought that was pretty interesting.
The England manager?
Yeah, the
Well, he's not the England manager anymore now, right?
Yeah,
Now it's Thomas
no,
Tuchel.
but he was for a while.
Yeah, he was in their European run and their last World Cup run.
Much maligned, but I think any manager of the England national team is gonna be maligned.
Doomed for failure.
Yeah, like that's like a hockey coach, like your ass is on the line constantly, and people find every decision you make, every
Oh
lineup.
yeah, anything wrong, you could have done something else.
Yeah, but also another really interesting thing, Middlesbrough was the first football club in the entire world to launch its own TV channel. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's probably why we can't get good replays.
Yeah, Boro TV. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. Like, not Real Madrid, not Liverpool, not Paris Saint-Germain, not Bayern Munich, but Middlesbrough.
Yep.
That's a little piece of history I thought was interesting.
Some big thinkers in that organization.
Yeah, ahead of their time.
That's right.
Yeah, now they just need to try to find a way to put a product on the field.
Yeah, now they can sign a striker.
Yeah, they're too busy designing a TV channel to build a team.
I did look up
Latte
Latte
Lat.
Lott, and he's got 2 goals for Atlanta United.
Oh,
Three
yeah,
games in, he's got 2 goals.
good signing for them. Difference maker, I like it. Might have to
I
start watching a little Atlanta United.
hope you got Apple TV.
God damn it! I already got Paramount for Championship. I already got Peacock for Premier League.
Yep. And
Like,
the most expensive one is MLS.
makes sense. I gotta see my Montreal, whatever the fucks. No,
Impact.
Montreal's. Oh, they don't have a stupid Montreal Impact. Okay, yeah, it
Yeah.
sounds like an Arena Football League team.
Yeah. All right, Carl, we finish with Sunday's game at Fratton Park, where Portsmouth hosted Leeds United. Both sides were working hard and fast, but neither squad could pull the lid off until the 61st minute when Pompey's Connor Ogilvie kicks a very long ball down the left side, and it's a race between Colby Bishop and Leeds goalkeeper Elan Meslier, and Bishop wins the challenge and chips the ball into the goal for the 1-0 advantage. More chances from both sides for the rest of the game, but the Bishop goal would be the only scoring on the day, and Portsmouth get the exciting upset victory at home.
Unbelievable. Wow, their fans have to be over the moon.
Yeah, and I've actually got a lot about this game because I watched like 60% of it. I missed the goal. I turned it off right before the goal, but I
Yeah,
watched a bunch of it.
I'll be honest. I didn't even know there was a game today.
Yeah, I actually just couldn't sleep, and it was 5 a.m. and I looked, I was on my phone, and the game started at 5 a.m. I was like, oh, perfect. So I turned it on. And I made it to like just after halftime, and I was like, okay, now I'm ready for bed. I went back to sleep. But so the thing I wanted to bring up, because they didn't show it in the replay, I watched the second replay and they had this part. At the 10th minute mark, the Leeds should have had a penalty. Matt Ritchie from Portsmouth kicks Daniel James in the penalty area. But referee Rob Jones doesn't call it, and the commentators had mentioned that he was a Premier League referee, and that possibly in cases like that, his instinct is to let it go and let VAR tell him to go over it. But of course, there's no VAR in championship, so they wondered if maybe he didn't call the penalty because he was waiting for instruction just out of habit, you know what I mean, or
Wow, that's
instinct. And then this one I have, and I'm gonna actually need you to do some research on this. In the 41st minute, Ogilvy steals the ball. Strouk passes back to Meslier for Leeds United, and Ogilvy takes down Meslier, and there's initially no red card, and then the commentator the whole time going, I just can't believe he didn't at least get a yellow for that. And then like 2 minutes later, he's like, I really don't understand why he didn't get a yellow.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
For that, and like he just kept talking about it until eventually one time someone must have been in his ear. He's like, well, no point talking anymore about it. He didn't get a yellow for that. But Carl, do me a favor and go on YouTube and look up Portsmouth 1 hyphen Leeds United. United is UTD 0.
Can we do that now?
Yeah, I want you to take a look at this.
That has to be a yellow card.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to know your opinion because it looks like it definitely could have been a red. And the fact that Ogilvy gets the long assist on the only goal in the game, I had to go down a Reddit wormhole to try and find, because none of the replays had this play, and I couldn't believe that it was such a big play in the first half, and no one brought it up. So I ended up going through the game thread for Leeds fans, and holy crap, were they pissed.
Wow, how can that not be said it again? Yeah, wow. You went through the Leeds fan thread.
The fan thread on the game, like, so I was going through it, basically rewinding through to try, because I wanted to find the play. But
Yeah.
yeah, oh my God, they were losing their shit. And
Oh, I
they're like,
bet.
a funny side note to that, they're already thinking they're going to drop out of the top two. And like, we're going to lose in the playoffs and the final again this year because they lost in the final last year.
Oh man, Leeds, I've noticed that Leeds fans and the championship subreddit, they're legendary like doomers.
Oh man, it was great.
One thing goes wrong and like they're doomed, like everything's gonna fall apart. It's kind of funny, like they were talking about, there was a thread I was reading today and it said, well, which teams at this point do you think will get relegated? And some Leeds fan just posted Leeds. Yeah, wild.
Yeah. All right, Carl, let's take a look at the standings with that Sheffield United win and the Leeds loss. Sheffield and Leeds are now tied for that top spot at 76 points. Leeds has got a dominant 25 goal lead as far as goal differential goes. So Sheffield is gonna have to overtake them with points if they want that championship. Burnley moves ever closer with another win. They are now in third spot, only 2 points behind Leeds and Sheffield. Again, with only two losses on the entire season. This is officially a three-horse race for those top two automatic promotion spots. Sunderland stay in fourth at 68. Coventry moves up again there. Well, they don't move up, but they're still in fifth solidly at 56. West Brom right behind them at 55 in sixth spot. Bristol City move up to 53rd. Blackburn Rovers move down excuse me, Bristol City move up to 7th at 53 points. Blackburn Rovers move down to 8th at 52 points. And then Middlesbrough, Norwich, and Watford all shit the bed, 9th, 10th, and 11th, respectively. We're going to keep an eye on their scores, but we're not going to follow them. They're now a good 5 points out of that final playoff spot. So they're going to have to get some wins before we follow them again. Middlesbrough lasted a whole 1 week after their two-win week a couple weeks ago. So,
yeah. Norwich, yeah, middle that three-team group is just the – they're like the three disappointing musketeers.
Yeah, especially Norwich. We both expected more from them. Middlesbrough at the beginning of the season we thought would be better, but – they've really been a yo-yo team, as you like to say. And Watford started out pretty well and have just been awful for the last 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, they have not been good. Norwich is actually climbing up there in the draw derby.
Yeah.
Preston North End and West Brom are actually tied at 16. Burnley and Bristol City are tied at 14 draws.
Yep.
And then in third with 13 is Norwich City now. They've got four in their last...
Technically fifth. That's how you do that.
Well, okay, fifth, yeah. They got four in their last six matches. So they're coming on strong.
All right, Carl, let's take a look at next week's games. Excuse me. We have a double fixture in the EFL Championship. We're going to start Tuesday at iPro Stadium, where Derby County hosts Coventry, Red Hot Coventry. Derby County took this 2-1 back in match week 14 in November, but we've seen Coventry on fire as of late. I think I'd take Coventry even on the road in this one. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, Derby, you know, they got a very surprising win at home against Blackburn. So maybe that's something they can build on and just at least defend their home turf. But yeah, I think Coventry is Coventry. A lot of these wins are kind of late in the game wins, but I think they're definitely feeling it. I couldn't go against Coventry right now.
No, they're doing great. Next yeah. game, we go to the Turf Moor, where Burnley hosts West Bromwich Albion. Carl, this is a DraftKings match of the week. This was a 0-0 draw back in November. Surprise, surprise.
What? Are you serious?
Let me give you the odds. Burnley, big time favorites, minus 105 straight up. West Brom, plus 330. A draw is plus 225. Draw no bet. Burnley, minus 260. West Brom, plus 200. Who you got?
What was the West Brom straight up?
West Brom straight up is plus 330.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the Burnley straight up? Excuse me.
Minus 105. Those are your closest to even odds.
And then draw?
Plus 225.
God, I love that draw, but I think I'd probably take Burnley in this one.
Yeah, you're going to do the straight up?
I think so.
How much you want to put on it?
$50.
Minus 105. I'm actually going to take that draw action. Plus 225. I think we got another draw coming.
Yeah. Wouldn't shock me, obviously.
No. I want a little more odds than the minus 105. That's the safest bet for me, but I got to give you a chance because your bets have been pathetic lately.
Man, you are one pathetic loser. No offense.
Yeah, no doubt.
Next game, we go to the Stadium of Light, where Sunderland hosts Preston North End. Another 0-0 draw back in November. Who you got?
Oh, Sunderland.
Yeah, I think Sunderland at home. Preston North End been okay. They had an offensive game last week, obviously, but couldn't get any goals in. So, yeah, I think Sunderland at home, draw no bet if I had to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Preston North End does lead with 16 draws, so they know how to choke the life out of a match. But yeah, I'm gonna go Sunderland. I had to go Sunderland. Yeah, probably draw no bet.
All right, next game we go to Bramall Lane, where Sheffield United host Bristol City. Carl, another DraftKings match of the week. Sheffield took this 2-1 back in November. Sheffield United favorites in this one, +100, even money for the straight up win. Bristol City +285, straight up +235 for the draw. Draw no bet. Sheffield -220, Bristol City +170.
Well, so Sheffield did not look amazing last week, against Preston. But Bristol City didn't look amazing either. Again, they drew against Hull.
Right.
So at least Sheffield won. I think I'm gonna take Sheffield straight up
Sheffield straight up +100.
for $50.
Okay. Oops. Oh, yeah. See, I don't know. I kind of want to go Bristol with the draw, no bet. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take Bristol, draw no bet for $100.
I mean, goals scored, Sheffield only has five more than Bristol this season, so not a huge difference there.
No, I just this is kind of a gut feeling on this one. The smart money is to take the straight up at the even odds, but again, it's just not as fun.
Right. Let's have some fun. Well, you have fun. I'm not having fun.
Next game on Wednesday, we go to Elland Road, where Leeds United hosts the Millwall Bricks. This was a 1-0 win for Millwall back in November. Leeds coming off a loss. Who you got?
Wow, one of the four Leeds United losses this season. I think Leeds is going to come out angry in this one. I think they're going to win.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think they need this. They're going to be at home. Millwall hasn't been looking great as of late. They do play defense. They're a defensive style, but I think Leeds just pelts them.
Yeah, this could one could get ugly, I think.
All right, next game we go to Bet365 Stadium, where your Stoke City hosts the Blackburn Rovers. Stoke took this one down 2-0 back in November. Who you got?
I'd probably go Stoke draw no bet. I mean, Black Stokes looked a little feisty. I know they lost against
Slight underdogs in this one. Stoke -110, draw no bet. Blackburn -115.
yeah, I think I'd go Stoke draw no bet. I mean, Blackburn just showed that they can lose to absolutely anyone.
Yeah, 100%.
So, and then this is on the yeah, and this is another road match. I like how Stoke played against Coventry, who's a hot team. They fought back after getting down 2-0.
Yeah.
Of course they lost, but I like the way that they fought. So yeah, I'd probably go Stoke draw no bet.
How much you want to put on it? Let's go heads up.
75.
All right.
Come on, boys. I haven't had much faith in you this year.
Yeah,
Don't make
good
me
team.
regret it.
I like it. All right, we go to the weekend fixture starting Friday at Ashton Gate. Bristol City hosts Norwich City, another DraftKings match of the week. Bristol City took this down 2-0 back in match week 15 in November. We don't have odds on this one. We'll hit them up when we do midweek recording. So why don't you just see who you got for now?
Yeah, I just desperately want Norwich to figure it out, and I'm gonna say this is where they do. And I'm gonna say, actually, you know what? I'd probably say draw.
Yeah, I think I'm going Bristol, draw no bet at home. Norwich can't put it together. Not that Bristol City is a world beater, but Norwich just disappointing this whole last month. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just, man. I'm just one of those idiot believe I'm like a cult member. Like I'm in the Canary cult. And I think I'm always like, this is the week. This is the week I'm gonna pull up the scores and they're gonna win 3-1. And so yeah, I'm but I'm getting a little bit less optimistic, so I'm gonna put down my expectations to a draw.
All right, next game Saturday at Loftus Road. The Park Rangers host Leeds United. Leeds took this 2-0 back in November. Who you got?
Yeah, I mean, no matter what just happened at Portsmouth, I just can't take myself to bet against Leeds. I just can't.
No, I'm with you. I'm taking Leeds, especially against Park Rangers. Maybe if they were playing someone a little higher on the table, I'd think twice, but who knows? Maybe after the weekday fixtures, I might change my mind. But right now, I'm taking Leeds.
Yeah, maybe there'll be some really juicy odds that sway you.
Yep, for sure. Next game, we go to Ewood Park, where Blackburn Rovers host Cardiff City. This was 3-1 Rovers back in November. Who you got?
I'd probably go Rovers straight up.
Yeah, I think at home, Cardiff City's not great. Depending on the odds, I might take draw no bet just to be a little on the safer side. But yeah, I think Rovers should have this one.
Yeah, agreed. Like, I mean, I know they lost to Derby on the road, but Cardiff City is not good, and I gotta listen to my gut, and I just think Blackburn at home will handle it.
Yep. I'm with you. Next game, we go to CBS Arena, where Coventry hosts Sunderland. Carl, another DraftKings match of the week. This was a 2-2 draw back in November.
Wow. And that's when Coventry City wasn't playing all that great.
No.
So, and that was at the Stadium of
That
Light.
was at the Stadium of Light, but we've talked a couple times about how Sunderland have let us down at home this season.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they have any real home pitch advantage like I thought they would.
Right.
But now going on the road to Coventry, this feels like a this feels like another maybe late winter for Coventry,
Yeah,
but
I think I'm with you. I'm saying like draw no bet depending on the odds when we take a look at them midweek. I'd say draw no bet Coventry, but it
you
all
know
kind
what,
of
actually
depends.
I would want maybe want to go heads up. I changed my mind. I think I want to go Sunderland.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the odds midweek.
Yeah, we will.
All right, next game we go to Swansea.com Stadium, where Swans host Burnley. This was a 1-0 win for Burnley back in November.
So yeah, Swansea's shown a little bit, but I gotta stick with Burnley. I would go draw no bet, of course.
Yeah, of course, with Burnley. You gotta, yeah, I'm with you 100%. You gotta kind of stick with them to draw no bet. They have been scoring lately, which is weird. But
Yeah,
yeah, I think,
freaky.
yeah,
Yeah.
100%. Next game, Carl, we go to the Hawthorns, where West Brom host Hull City. West Brom took this down 2-1 back in November. Who you got?
Yeah, Hull drew their last match against Bristol. West Brom, we know about them. Yeah, I'd probably take West Brom. I'd probably have to go straight up depending on the odds.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think West Brom should handle it, but Hull's gotten lucky a few times in the last few weeks. Who knows what they can pull off? I might go draw no bet, but I'm with you. I'd probably have to take a look at the odds if I was going to bet that one.
Yeah, and Hull City, they're not good, but they're not a disaster team like Plymouth.
Right.
So they can pull a result here and there, but yeah, I think the odds for draw no bet for West Brom would not be great.
Yeah, you're probably right. We go to Sunday's game at Hillsborough, where Sheffield Wednesday hosts Sheffield United in the Steel City Derby. United took this 1-0 back in November.
Ooh, a good Steel City derby. I know Wednesday is going to be up for this one.
Yeah, I
Their
didn't know they were
first.
playing in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Funny. Yeah, but Sheffield Wednesday is going to be up for this. This is their first Steel City Derby at home in a few years, I think.
Yeah.
So I'd probably go to Wednesday, draw no bet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Sheffield's been doing better. I know they didn't come out strong, but they still won last game. So I think I'd probably take them straight up, depending if I can get some odds on draw no bet. But I think I'm taking United.
Wow, I'm surprised because I know you've had a little crush on Sheffield Wednesday throughout the season.
I do like their offense, but again, they can't get the goals.
Yeah. Maybe this will be the time. Maybe the Steel City Derby magic will be
This is when they shine.
this is when the lights shine the brightest. This is when they come out to play.
Yeah, Sunday primetime game too, so who knows?
Yeah.
All right, Carl, let's move to the Premier League.
Hit the music.
We start Saturday at Selhurst Park when Crystal Palace hosts Ipswich Town. Both squads let the throttle out with a ton of shots both ways, but only one goal in the game in the 82nd minute. Palace are pressing in the offensive third, and Ismaila Sarr gets the ball at the top of the penalty area. Sarr takes the ball into the box and chips it over the diving keeper for the Eagles' 1-0 win.
Yeah, a lot of shots, like you said. Crystal Palace had 3.42 XG, and so that's pretty high.
Yeah.
19 shots to 15. Ipswich had 8 on target compared to Crystal Palace's 4.
Yeah, and they had some
So,
chances in there too.
yeah, they did. Yeah, remember when we were following Palace early in the season because we thought they might get relegated?
Right.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a long way away from that now.
Yeah, well, and you kept saying that Palace is better than this. I swear, Palace is better than this. And they've moved up in the standings for sure.
Yep, that's why they call me the football genius. As long as I'm not betting on the thing.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a Eberi Eze shot that got deflected, and the goalie had to backpedal furiously and barely saved it for Ipswich. That was pretty nice.
Yeah, I think we've talked about him. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but we've talked about the Ipswich keeper a couple times, having basically saved their ass.
Yeah, he's a good one for them. Sarr, who scored the goal, he did have
Yeah.
also a goal line save at one point. So that's as good as scoring 2 goals almost.
Yeah, you love your goal line saves.
I love my goal line saves. Yeah, Ipswich actually should have scored twice. I think Delap had an opportunity that just got saved
Yep.
barely. So
Yep.
Ipswich, man, they've had a lot of matches where they got to be kicking themselves because
Yeah, and Alex Palmer is the keeper for Ipswich. That's what I was looking for.
Alex Palmer, yeah. Sarr's goal, great chip over the keeper, like
Yep, well timed.
well timed because yeah, the keeper was closing in and went to the ground, and he was right there on him, and he had no choice. He would not have scored any other way.
Yep.
So great the skill there by Sarr, and so Palace, one loss in their last 13 matches.
Yeah, they've moved up the table kind of like Coventry have. They're not going to get anywhere close to top of the table, but they definitely made some significant improvement.
Yeah, I think if they finish the season playing like this, I think they'll look at it as a successful season for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Yep.
Next game, we go to the Anfield where Liverpool hosts Southampton. Carl, you put a long shot bet of $25 on Southampton straight up plus 1400. I thought about this after the game and you wouldn't have quite gotten the same amount of odds, but I think it would have been a better bet for you if you had them winning the first half, because you would have taken it in this one. You would have got some significant money, but I don't really see Southampton coming back, whereas we can definitely see Liverpool coming back.
Yeah, but I don't really think that's an option for us.
I might have given it to you. We'll see.
All right, we'll play around with it.
Next time.
But yeah, I'm glad that I wasn't watching this match live because at halftime I would have been losing my shit. I would have been watching the game standing up, no question. But it didn't take long in the second half, you know. Or
No.
do you want to
Yeah,
describe what
let's go
happened?
over it. The Reds start off slow, and the Saints take advantage right before the half in the 45 plus one when a collision involving Liverpool's Virgil van Dijk and Alisson Becker and Southampton's Matheus Fernandes leave some confusion and the ball for Will Smallbone, who nutmegs the recovering goalkeeper Alisson for the 1-0 lead. Liverpool straighten up in the second half, starting in the 51st minute when Luis Diaz brings the ball up and to the end line and passes back to an open Darwin Nunez, who ties the game up at one. The Reds keep the pressure on, and in the 53rd minute, Smallbone takes down Nunez inside the box, and Liverpool are awarded the penalty. Mo Salah goes top corner, and Liverpool take the lead. The Saints give Salah another one in the 85th minute when Yukari Sugara throws an arm at the ball inside the 18-yard box, and Uncle Mo's going to get another penalty in the opposite top corner for the 3-1 win.
Man, Mo Salah collects penalties like my aunt collected Beanie Babies. I swear to God, just racks them up. But he's a killer at them. Like he's like automatic, it seems.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, why wouldn't they put him at the spot?
Yeah, he's top corner. Even when the keeper guesses right, they don't have a chance, and that's what you want out of a penalty taker.
No chance. And yeah, I don't know what was Sugawara doing. What was he thinking, throwing that
Yeah, I
elbow at the
didn't get
ball?
that either. The only thing I can think of is just like instinctive reaction. The ball kind of bounced up near his arm and he just threw his elbow out at it. That's the only thing I can think of. It was a brain dead move for sure.
Yeah, what does he think? No one's gonna notice that, especially in the Premier League when they have VAR. Oh man, what a blunder. But Southampton, they put up a little bit of a fight at Anfield, so I give them respect. They're not just laying down even though the season's over. I mean, I guess, the guys are still playing for their contracts and they're gonna play to see if maybe a team that's staying up will throw a life preserver at them.
Yeah, remember they're 2 points behind the record. The record is 11 points for the worst team in Premier League history, and they're at nine. So they want those two, hopefully 3 points to get past it. But I think they at least want 2 points
Yeah,
in the remaining 10 games.
you think they'll get it?
Right now, it's looking good for them to be what year 76ers was it when they only won like 7 games or something stupid like that.
Was that like early 90s or
Yeah, I don't remember, but
mid-90s?
they held the record for a long time.
Yeah, not good, but Liverpool, it's hard to go into Anfield and win.
Didn't you have something with Luis Diaz?
Oh yeah, Luis Diaz in the 40th minute. He gets the ball on the left wing, cuts in at the kind of just inside the top of the box, and goes to unfurl an absolute laser. And the announcer said something like, "And he's trying to find the gap. Oh, but he finds the fans instead in it." And like this was not just a miss. This is like the crazy. This is like the worst miss from that distance I think I've ever seen. Like it just kind of started towards the goal and then just beelined right to like the fans in the corner. Like it was, I've
Yeah.
never seen anything like that before.
The
So
only
it,
thing I can think of is when the Niners had Jose Cortez and he missed, it was like a 22-yard field goal and he missed it by like 25 yards. It was the only time I'd ever seen anyone miss it by more than it was to the actual field goal itself. And that's what this was like. If he was, 15 yards away, he missed it by a good 20 yards.
just Luis Diaz just has to be grateful that this was not on the road, because the fans would have just been all over him.
We finished the action Sunday at Stamford Bridge when Chelsea hosted Leicester City. The Foxes' back line earned their salary today as Chelsea pelted them with 20 shots in the match. Leicester keeper Mads Hermansen started in the 22nd minute, stopping a Cole Palmer penalty and yelling at Palmer to get a haircut, all while preserving the tie and keeping Leicester in the game. The Blues would finally break through in the 60th minute when sideshow Mark Cucurella gets the ball and takes a shot from 24 yards out and lasers it past the keeper for the 1-0 win.
Yeah, so I noticed in the second minute, Cole Palmer got pushed in the back in the box. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why was that not a foul?
They were calling for it even on the broadcast.
Yeah, that seems like very one of the more obvious ones I've seen. But this is the week of refs swallowing the whistle, I guess.
Yeah.
And Palmer's penalty got saved. That was the first penalty he's ever missed. He had made all 12 before. He's really slumping. The announcers are talking about it. He hasn't had a goal in like 8 matches or something like that. So yeah, this is like his first real adversity. So we'll see how he bounces back from that, if he bounces back. Cucurella, I had a note, best hair in the Prem, ? That thing is a lion's mane, man. Like,
yeah,
it's good because like, whenever I saw that he was going to be scoring the goal and when it was, so like I could pick him out so easily on the pitch. Yeah. Like, I didn't have to look for a number or a skin color or anything like that. I just had to look for that gigantic fucking mop of hair.
Yep.
So thanks, yep. Thanks, Kooks. That's my nickname for him now. Kooks. Because his hair is kooky. And then the only other note I had was that Chelsea defender Tosin Adarabioyo had a header, a long header off his own crossbar. Did you see that one?
No, I don't recall seeing that one.
Yeah, he was outside of the 6-yard box for sure, and one of the Leicester players hit a cross and I guess he decided he was going to try to just hit it like way over the goal out of bounds, but he misjudged it and it went and it hit the crossbar. So it would have been almost like a magical own goal.
And Leicester needed that goal.
Yeah, he was their best hope. He would have been their man of the match, no question.
All right, Carl, let's take a look at the standings. So we got Wolves in 17th spot. They had a 1-1 draw with Everton, which puts them a firm 6 points in front of 18th spot. So we're going to take them out for next week. We don't even need to scoreboard watch them. We'll just follow the bottom three, which I think are pretty much solidified. Ipswich Town in 17th. Ipswich Town in 18th spot with 17 points. Leicester tied with them in 19th at 17 points. Ipswich minus 32 goal differential. Leicester minus 37. So Ipswich 5 goals ahead as far as that's concerned. And Southampton in the cellar at 9 points, as we just talked about, in 20th spot. Only 2 wins on the season, begging to get out of the worst team in Premier League history zone. And that's all I got.
Yeah, I think just by the way that they've been playing, I'd say Ipswich Town is the only team that has a hope right now to even make a miracle crawl out and catch Wolverhampton. But I really don't.
No, you're not kidding. Leicester have one more win than them, but Leicester have not been scoring goals at all. Like, and this is beginning to get scary for them.
Yeah, no, Leicester is just not even. Yeah, they don't look like they have a pulse lately. Whereas Ipswich Town at least look feisty. But I don't think any of them are going to catch Wolves. But if there was one team I would bet money on to do it, I would say it would be Ipswich at this point.
Yep, I think I'm with you. Let's take a look to head to next week's action. We go Saturday to Loftus Road, where Ipswich Town take on my Nottingham Forest. This is a replay from match week 13. Forest took this 1-0 back in November. Who you got?
Wow. So, yeah, Ipswich Town was scrappy at City Park. But, yeah, I'm not going against Forest.
No, I think maybe a draw, no bet, because they're on the road. But, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Forest is playing well enough to be in third. So top of the table versus bottom of the table, I think you have to pick Forest.
If Ipswich could somehow pull a result here, that would be huge for them.
Yep, let's move to St. Mary's Stadium where Southampton host Wolves. Carl, we will make this a DraftKings match of the week, despite taking Wolves out just because I like to gamble. Match week 11 replay. This was a 2-0 win for Wolves. Who you got? Oh, let me give you the odds. Let's find it. Southampton. So Wolves, heavy favorites, plus 105 for the win. Southampton, plus 250, plus 245 for the draw. Draw, no bet. Wolves minus 200, Southampton plus 150.
I think I'm gonna take the draw.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at that as well. I'll take Wolves at the straight up plus 105. Been a little loosey-goosey with my bets. Let's reel it in a little bit for this one. But how much you want to put on that, Carl?
Give me 50.
And I'm gonna take Wolves straight up, 100 bucks plus 105. All right, final game Sunday at King Power Stadium, where Leicester have not scored in 6 matches. They host Man U. United took this 3-0 back in November. Who you got?
I think Leicester get off the schneid as far as scoring goes. I think they'll put in a goal, but I think Manchester take this. Man U takes this straight up.
Yeah, maybe like a 3-2 game, a little high scoring action.
And Man U, I mean they got a draw at Arsenal maybe.
Bruno Fernandes is the only guy scoring for them.
Manchester United is not a great team at all by any stretch, but I think they have definitely obviously more class than Leicester.
Yeah.
I don't see a reason to go against them in this one.
Nope, I'm with you. Carl, let's take a look at the DraftKings scoreboard. You went 0-0-2 for minus 125 this week, leaving your grand total at $682.35 with a 25-7-35 record on the season. I won the one heads-up game. We went for 1-0-0. I won $95.23, bringing me up to $1,644.85 with a 28-9-25 record this season.
So,
So I wanted to double you up. Now I'm looking at tripling you up before
you're
the end of the
gonna
season.
triple me up. Jeez, the hubris. I can't. You know what? So I was really bothered by this, like how this has been going, this whole season, and I was really kind of getting depressed. So you know who I called last night?
Your pastor.
My no, I'm a Catholic, Phil. He's my priest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What he told me was that I am the righteous and you are the wicked, and greed leads down a very dark road. So you enjoy your money while you have it, because guess what, Phil? You're going to hell.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Just what my priest said, that's all.
Did he say it like that?
He's very demonstrative. He gets very in, he gets very into his priesting.
All right, Carl. It was a wonderful week of football action. A lot went down, a lot of separation in the championship, as well as a lot of clustering up as far as those top two spots. I think we pretty much know what's going to happen as far as relegation goes in the Premier League. But we've got a double fixture of action next week in the championship as well. Three more games to watch in Premier. So thank you so much for joining me, Carl. Thank you all at home for joining us again this week. We will be back next week with another exciting week of action. Carl, say bye.
All right, everybody. Now, kids out there that are listening, I just want to tell you, don't smoke. Try vaping, though. It's got a lot of fun flavors, and it doesn't make your clothes stink, and it's totally not addictive. So go down that road if you must. But everybody have a good week.